In my experience, the question, was the Cromwellian Protectorate a military dictatorship, is one that has the capacity to divide people of all kinds today. Oliver Cromwell in the 1650s has the power to not open up, but actually to reveal, it seems to me, existing deep divisions in contemporary British and Irish society. I know this to my cost. When I go to social occasions and people ask me what you do, and some people say they're a plumber, and I say, well, I'm a historian, and I'm interested in Oliver Cromwell. And I've just become used to the kind of reactions that you get. Some are really diverse and adverse. You know, people will say, how on earth, you know, can you study such a horrible, brutal kind of dictatorial man? But others are completely opposite and obviously see Oliver with great warmth and affection. So was the Cromwellian Protectorate a military dictatorship? You know, has this capacity to provoke strong answers, both yes and no, outside as well as inside the educational academic world? Well, what's my answer? That's what I guess you've come to hear. Well, my starting point for giving my answer to this question is to express my belief that this question is fundamentally a bad one. I just think it's a silly question. It's asked on examination papers, but I think it's a bad one. Why do I think that? Well, I think it's bad because it's rather like the question that's beloved of lawyers who ask a husband who loves his wife and has never hit her, have you stopped beating your wife? Do you know the have you stopped beating your wife question? You know, it's a question that invites only one of two answers, either yes or no. Answering no for this poor husband is obviously completely out of the question because he's never started beating his wife. But so too is yes, because if he says yes, this would imply that although he doesn't beat his wife now, he did so at some time in the past. In other words, it's a question that doesn't leave room for a truthful answer. And I think, was the Cromwellian Protectorate a military dictatorship? It is exactly that kind of question, I think. Faced with that question, historians are put in roughly the same uncomfortable position as that poor husband, and as your reaction demonstrated just now, you were. I mean, for the blunt fact is that it's a question that can't be answered, or at least I can't answer it, with either a blunt yes or a blunt no. I don't want to answer it with a no, because, as we'll see in the first part of this talk, there were some aspects of the regime that are not unlike those used by dictatorial regimes elsewhere and at other times. But equally, I don't want to answer it with a blunt yes, because there are so many other aspects of the Cromwellian Protectorate that make the term military dictatorship a very inaccurate label for it, and those are the aspects that I'll identify in the second part of this talk. And so I felt the need, therefore, to give this talk a third part, a concluding part, in which I'm going to explain why asking this question, which focuses on the Cromwellian Protectorate's constitutional or unconstitutional features, I think tends to lead us away from the true nature of the regime. It seems to me that for many of those at the heart of the regime, certainly a Protector Oliver Cromwell himself, and maybe, although I'm less certain about this, also Protector Richard Cromwell as well, but certainly for those at the heart of the regime, I think the constitutional form of the regime was relatively unimportant in comparison with their aspirations to bring about massive cultural changes in Britain. And that's a feature of the Cromwellian Protectorate that I think this question tends to obscure and that I'll end by emphasising. However, I think it would be really foolish to deny that the Cromwellian Protectorate was completely disassociated from military power or that it never used unconstitutional or illegal methods. I mean, it's glaringly obvious that to a very large extent this was a regime which owed its establishment and its continuation not to constitutional legitimacy, but it owed it to the power of the army. It also showed itself to be a regime that was staffed and headed by men who were at times, as we'll see, not averse to using their military muscle to govern the country and to ride roughshod over the law.